The Old Testament reading for the 16th Sunday after Pentecost is from Genesis chapter 50. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin, because they did evil to you. And now please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear, I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 14. "As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, 'As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God.' So then each of us will give an account of himself to God." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter. Peter came up and said to Jesus, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you 7 times, but 70 times 7. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, 'Pay what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me and I will pay you.' He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, They were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text today is Matthew 18, 21 to 35, the gospel lesson just read. The sermon title is Forgiving from the Heart. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, imagine, if you can, what it would be like to be sold by your own brothers and sisters into slavery. You would get the feeling, if I can't trust my own flesh and blood, who can I trust? You probably would vow revenge and pray that God would curse them here on earth and punish them in hell. You would never forget their crime for the rest of your life, and that probably would be short and miserable, as it often was for slaves. You would wake up every morning hating them, and rightfully so. In Dante's Inferno, the lowest places of hell are reserved for those who betray their family, their best friends, and their country. Now, the amazing thing about the story of Joseph in our Old Testament lesson is that he did none of these things. From his betrayal in chapter 37 of Genesis until his death in chapter 50, Joseph showed no signs, it's not recorded in the scriptures, of hatred, revenge, or animosity toward his own flesh and blood. Although Joseph may have felt that way before he came to prominence in Egypt, there is, again, no record of it. We know for sure that when his brothers appeared in court, he welcomed them as his family. He provided for them and all the grandchildren. And even after Jacob died, Joseph pledged that he would not avenge his betrayal. That's what it says in the text. But would continue to provide for and protect all the family of Jacob until his death. And he never budged from that promise of fidelity to his family. It is therefore interesting that when Peter asked Jesus about forgiveness in our gospel, he asked, "How many times should I forgive my brother?" Notice the word brother there. Family conflicts and jealousies were just as strong among the disciples of Jesus as it was among the sons of Jacob. Peter may have even had a recent incident with his brother Andrew in mind, but it's not mentioned in the text. We know that the disciples did not always get along with each other, and some were flesh and blood brothers. In Luke 9, for example, the evangelist reports that, quote, "A dispute arose among them as to which of them would be the greatest," verse 46. At the Last Supper, Luke again reports, "There was a rivalry among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest," Luke 22, 24. That was during the Last Supper. Every time I see a reproduction of Leonardo da Vinci's Last Supper, I picture that and say to myself, those guys just finished arguing with each other over who was the most important, some saints that they are, and they're put there on the altar in many churches. Jesus' answer to Peter about forgiveness was in the form of a parable. It is known as the unforgiving steward. It's all about a steward who owed a king 10,000 talents. One talent was worth 3,000 shekels of silver. The debt was equal to 1 million times the amount of money that Judas received from the high priest for betraying Jesus. 1 million times that amount. The king was going to sell the steward and his wife and children and liquidate everything that he owed to pay the debt. The steward pleaded with him to have mercy, and the king forgave him everything. Now that's part of the lesson. The king forgives everything. That's the Father who forgives us our sins because of Jesus. But the story continues. The same steward found another man who owed him 100 denarii, which would be 4 small gold coins in Roman coinage. The debtor pled for mercy, but the steward refused and threw him into debtor's prison. The king found out about the steward's lack of mercy, had him arrested, and sent him to the torturers until he paid in blood and pain all of his original debt. And Jesus ended the parable with these words, "So my heavenly Father will do to each of you if you do not forgive your brother his sin against you from your heart." Wow. That one should really make you stand up and notice. The message is plenty clear. If you, a believer in Christ, do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart, the Father will turn you over to the torturers in hell on the day of judgment. It's the same message you get when you pray the fifth petition. Just a little bit more obvious. In the fifth petition, it says, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." In the Lord's Prayer, you're asking Jesus not to forgive you if you fail to forgive those who sin against you. Now, this is all fine and good for minor offenses, and you're probably practiced, maybe not all the time, but you know you are Christians, so I'm sure you've forgiven people for minor offenses. But what about the big ones, the really big ones? What about when someone you know well, who is your family or close friend or colleague, intentionally does something to ruin your life? Intentionally. Such as destroying or stealing all your property, ruining your career, seducing your spouse, or killing or maiming your child. When friends, family, or colleagues commit life-changing offenses against you, intentionally and personally, it's nearly impossible to put the pain out of your heart. It's always there. It's changed you for your life. But then, you need to know that Jesus still has forgiveness for you. Remember that Jesus said, "Every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men." Every sin. But the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. That's Matthew 12:31. The Lutheran Church teaches that the blasphemy against the Spirit is the rejection of God's word and its gospel. The sin against the Holy Spirit is not the failure to forgive someone. But sometimes we're just too weak when we've been damaged that bad. So this means that Jesus will forgive your failure to forgive, if you know that you really want to, but you just can't. He will forgive you. To whom does the command to forgive apply? So it does not apply to people who have responsibility for other people's money, such as bankers or loan officers. The money they lend does not belong to them, but to investors, and the debts that they administer need to be repaid. It does not apply to people who have responsibility for enforcing laws, such as policemen, jailers, prosecutors, lawyers, judges, and juries. Where crimes are committed or contracts are broken, They have been given authority by God to punish or make restitution. Nor does this apply to rulers or police or soldiers who prosecute acts of war or crimes through the arts of defense. Now, you think about this one. We were reminded of, just recently, the terrorists who plotted to destroy the World Trade Center 22 years ago, killed close to 3,000 people. They needed to be brought to justice. And they eventually were. Forgiveness does not prohibit you from reporting a crime to the state. If a crime is committed against you, you need to report crimes, since the offense is not only against you, but against the law. The law will then handle the matter, and you are free of that concern. If a contract is violated, you, as a Lutheran, may take the violation to court. The Apology of the Augsburg Confession states the Lutheran position on this, quote, "Public redress through a judge is not forbidden, but expressly commanded, and it is a work of God according to Paul in Romans 13. If you ever need that, Apology 16, verse 7. Somebody gives you a hard time because you're taking them to court for something they stole from you. Apology 16, verse 7. You are allowed to use the courts. What the Christian law of forgiveness prohibits is private revenge, not public redress by the courts. But then what about all those offenses that are not crimes and cannot be prosecuted in civil courts? And those are things that Jesus says you need to forgive your brother from your heart. So what's the alternative to not forgiving? What does it do to you? You can stew around in those juices of hatred, plotting and imagining revenge. And the more you stew in the juices of revenge, the more your heart and mind will become a tool of sin. Remember what happened to Cain, the brother of Abel. You know, his parents were at one time the perfect couple. And then there's Cain and Abel. God warned Cain, "If you do not do well, sin lies at your door, and its desire is for you. But you should rule over it," Genesis 4, 7. Cain did not listen to God's warning. He let sin rule his heart and mind, and he stewed over his jealousy over what Abel had done, and he eventually murdered his innocent brother Abel. Now, don't kid yourself. Forgiveness is never easy. The greater the offense that's against you, the more difficult the forgiveness is. When you suffer great injustice and the law or authorities will not come to your aid, you will find some of the greatest tests to your faith. But there it is. You must forgive your brother from your heart. And when you want revenge, take that message from Jesus and put it right up against there. I must forgive my brother from my heart. There is no other choice for the Christian. And you can also find some solace with Joseph, so that if public redress is not possible, then it must be, in some strange way, the will of God that this happened to you. You never know. After all, both Jesus and Stephen pray for God's forgiveness of their murders as they were dying. And you can do no less with lesser offenses. In Jesus' name, amen.